were actually for not allowed at that point to have any concern with politics. And they were living as men and women and not having these things shredded apart. And these things in poetry seem to be the simplest kind of living, like living in a room here, which is a seminar room with empty shelves, which can be filled in any way by us. It's our future, our present, and the ways in which we live. And that's what I hope to read the poems of. The scene in the gates is very much the present. I'm going to an Asia that I found I needed very much. I went there in relation to Ken. I went there to do what I could to help a poet who was condemned to death by a tyrannical and dependent Korean government, dependent on my government, and wanting, as the officers and officials, ministers, said to me, wanting the affluence that they associated with the United States, but they said two things, and they said, would I please not talk about it, not tell, and I said, then that I wanted to tell. They wanted the affluence that they associated with the United States, and they wanted not to have the despisal, the cultural despisal that they felt from Japan. It's rather like our position in America in relation to England. We didn't want the cultural despisal that we had felt for so long from years. And I did go and held a press conference in Tokyo and talk to the Japanese about these things, the affluence in the United States, the despisal from Japan, and they seemed to be very moved. They had not heard the kind of thing coming from Korea, which Korea felt themselves treated as a barbarian country. It was to have a sort of cultural despisal from Japan, and it suffered under that. And it was a poet like Kim Ji-ha who was in solitary, in prison in Korea, waiting for what would come of his death sentence. And I went there quite simply to talk to the ministers of state, the cardinal, the people, the university people, and the people around his family, and his family itself. But the university people, extremely interesting. They were all people who had been sacked from their jobs, from their posts. And it was an honorary degree, sacked, sent to the university that day. And those people who had lost their posts were there holding church meetings and prayer meetings together and using them as talk places and places for poetry and sometimes song. And there was a place for poetry, and it was a place that was familiar to me as doing what one did without total effect. I stood in the mud of the prison yard on a wet day, standing vigil outside, as near as I could get to the cell of the poet. And the one reporter who was present came up to me and he was angry. He said, why? He said, why the hell are you standing here? Why aren't you at least out in the street where people can see you? And I said, it isn't about that. It's rather like writing a poem, which you have no idea of the effect, which you're doing it and you don't know what will happen. You try not to care, although of course you care. You care that it be received by somebody. But you know nothing of that. You know nothing of what it will change, except possibly it will change yourself. It will change yourself to stand there in the mud near the house of the poet. There used to be a very awful, sentimental series of books in the States. A little journeys, and this was a little journey to the house of the poet. It was a cell of solitary confinement. And I had no idea, of any effect that anything that any of us did, or that I did, had. But all the time I've been hearing people talk about what it meant to me, what this was done. And I know what it meant to me. And that's all I can say. I'll read you some of the poems of that toward the end of this reading. This is quite different. I don't know whether you suffer from any of this. It's called St. Roach. And these are New York and Vietnam. It's also directly what it says, of course. St. Roach. For that I never knew you, I only learned to dread you. For that I never touched you, they told me you are filth. They showed me by every action to despise your kind. For that I saw my people making war on you, I could not tell you apart, one from another. For that in childhood I lived in places clear of you. For that all the people I knew met you by crushing you, stamping you to death. They poured boiling water on you. They flushed you down. For that I could not tell one from another, only that you were dark, fast on your feet, and slender, not like me. For that I did not know your poems, and that I do not know any of your sayings, and that I cannot speak or read your language, and that I do not sing your songs, and that I do not teach our children to eat your food, or know your poems, or sing your songs, but that we say you are filthing our food, but that we know you not at all. Yesterday, I looked at one of you for the first time. You were lighter than the others in color. That was neither good nor bad. I was really looking for the first time. You seemed troubled and witty. Today I touched one of you for the first time. You were startled, you ran, you fled away faster than dancer, light, strange and lovely to the touch. I reach, I touch, I begin to know you. I'm really standing up and reading to you. I'm really waving my whole self. I'm not sitting down. This is called dream drumming. I braced the drum to my arm, a flat drum, and began to play. He heard me, and she heard me. I had never seen this drum before. As I played, weakness went through me, weakness left me. I held my arms high, the drum and the soft-headed long stick. I drummed past my tiredness, vibrating weakness, past it into music, as in ragas, past exhaustion into the country of all music. Held my arms high, became that vibration, drummed the sacrifice in my belly. He heard me, she heard me. I turned into the infinity figure, reaching down into the earth of music with my legs at last, reaching up from the two circles, my pelvic city, mountains and air abreast, with my arms up into music, at last turned into music, drumming on that possessed vibration, drumming my dream. This is just an enlargement of the gates that I'm using during this time. I'm almost ready to give it away. This is another one reaching far in the past, painted In the cave, there's a long ago flare. A woman stands, her arm up. Red twig, black twig, brown twig. A wall of leaping darkness over her. The men are out hunting in the early light. But here in this flicker, one or two men, painting, and a woman among them. Great living animals grow on the stone walls. Their pelts, their eyes, their sex, their hearts. And the cave painters touch them with life. Red, brown, black, a woman among them, painting. Room. The word in the bread feeds me. The word in the moon leads me. The word in the seed breeds me. The word in the child needs me. The word in the sand fills me. The word in the fruit fills me. The word in the body mills me. The word in the war kills me. The word in the man takes me. The word in the storm shakes me. The word in the work makes me. The word in the woman rakes me. The word in the word wakes me. And as I went on, I realized that there were at least two sources in the poems that I was making. There was the documentary poem, which is one stream has always helped me and fed me, in which there is actually a documentary source that I can show you and give you and point to. Then there's another of the indefinable source, sex, dream, the sources that can only be given out of one's own strength, the strength of the thing and whatever skill one brings to it. And indefinable, unverifiable fact. So that these two, the unverifiable fact and the document, and other things too, I think odd numbers rather than even numbers in these things. But those two sources, very clear what there is. This is a straight documentary thing of a protest that we were doing about the war in Vietnam, which was a source of enormous pain to many of us. The fact that we could not for a long time stop it, that the government was doing it, that the government to whom we went in our groups told us that there was something they knew that we did not know that caused the war to go on, when it turned out that there was nothing that they knew that we did not know. And finally we went as citizens with petitions, with request of the government. Was that cool? Yes. Saying that we ask you to stop the work of the Senate and to stop the war, to make that the work of the Senate. And we met in a motel near the Capitol the night before, and we found a thing that to me was of the most engrossing interest, that under a democracy you would have to agree that there was no agreement among us about what we should do, about what we were feeling or thinking. That we were there not as a revolutionary group, but as a group with this aim. And there was no question of agreement. The question of doing what we meant the next day. And that was how we did it. And this is a poem of that. The doctor is Dr. Spock, of whom you might know. And he did a very attractive thing in that. He said the one thing you must be careful of, not flushing the toilet with your thumb. There was a button in the wall to push. It was too stiff, he said, to push that way, and then he's the most attractive, good karate kick. So you do it that way and kick the button. And he said, they tell you that the most best friendships made there, he had gone there, he said, were made at Yale. He said, there's only one sound that's wrong, and they're made in jail. And the apprehension of all of this was much worse than the fact itself. We were trying to decide who among us would let ourselves be arrested and who would not. Those were one of the facts on which we didn't agree, and we didn't have to decide. And this is the account of that, a documentary, and how we did it. We all traveled in that big room, some from very far away. We smiled at some we knew. We did not, as we talked, agree. Our hearts went fast, thinking of morning when we would walk along the path. We spoke late night. We disagreed. We knew we would climb the seven steps. We knew we would present our claim. We would demand, be strong now, end the war. How would we do it? What would we ask? We will be warned, one said. They will warn us and take us. We can speak and walk away. We can lie down as if in mourning. We can lie down as a way of speech, speaking of all the dead in Asia. Then Ekdal said, we are not at this moment a revolutionary group. We are a group of dissenters. Let some men walk away. Let some stand until they want to leave. Let some lie down and let some be arrested. Some of us. Let each do what he feels at that moment, tomorrow. Iqbal's dark face. The doctor spoke, a friendship made in jail. We looked into each other's eyes and went all to our rooms to sleep, waiting for morning. I have to say, I'm very afraid myself, very nervous, apprehensive, before such actions. I don't know how you are. You have been very brave about actions here in this country. And we have done what we can. I do what I can. I do it in apprehension. I know people who have no fear in these things, but I have. And I was brought up to have fear in these things. I haven't shaken it off, but I can act in the face of it. But in this, the fact that we did not have to agree, that we did not have to go ahead with that shibboleth, I think it is, to us a majority rule, and agree to that extent, was a relief of all of that. The fact that we could act according to our own need and wish, and that those of us who wish to be arrested could go ahead, made it possible for some of us to go ahead, be arrested, face prison sentence, go ahead and be sentenced. They talked to us about not having the need to face prison, let the fine do it, but it was not anything that money could possibly express. And it was possible to go through a short prison sentence in the face of that. And the fact that the war did end, partly because of these protests, partly because of the students at Penn State, partly because of other students. It really did happen. It seems as though it never happened. But if we had known it in our lifetime that these actions do take place, and these poems and these protests are part of our lives and come into it. And the rhythms of these experiences have become the rhythms of our lives. And these are the under rhythms of the poems. This is called Islands. Oh, for God's sake, they are connected underneath. They look at each other across the glittering sea. Some keep a low profile. Some are cliffs. The bathers think islands are separate like them. This is a group of poems that I thought in the beginning was a group that was to derive from my parents, and I called them double O's. But it turned out, as I wrote, to be something quite different, and double was to be quite different. The windows and the black statues are the windows of the place where I live on the river, on the Hudson in New York. And the two black statues are not large, they are Mexican obsidian statues that are quite small in the sand at the ends of those long, long back of windows. The man and woman guard those windows. I've dedicated to my son and daughter-in-law. Double O'd, I'll pause between the poems. Wine and oil gleaming within their heads, I poured it into the hollow of their bodies, but they could not speak. The light glittered, lit from underneath they were. Water pouring over her face, it made the lips move and the eyes move. She spoke, break open. He did not speak. A still lake shining in his head, until I knew that the sun and the moon stood in me with one light. They began to breathe and glitter. Morning overflowed. Gifts poured from their sex upon my throat and my breast. They knew. They laughed. In their tremendous games, night revolved and shook my bed. I woke in the cold morning. Your presences allow me to begin to make myself carried on your shoulders, swayed in your arms. Something is flashing among the colors. I move without being allowed. I move with the blessing of the sky and the sea. Tonight I will try again for the music of truth, since this one and that one of mine are met with death. It is a blind lottery, a cheap military trumpet, with all those great roots black under the earth, while a muscle-legged man stamps in his red and gold, rough wine, creatures in nets, swords through their spines, and all their cancellations in our thought. Winter and pedestal under my female powers. A woman singing horses, blind cities of concrete. Moon comes to moonrise as a dark daughter. I am the poet of the night of women, and my two parents are the sun and the moon. A strong father of that black double likeness, bell peeking out of the bell tower, and a mother who shines and shines his light. Who is the double ghost whose head is smoke? Her thighs hold the wild infant, a trampled country, and I will fly in all my fears. Those two have terrified me, but I live. The silvery line of music gave me girlhood and fierce male prowess in a woman's grave. Eternal double music, male and female. Invisible blue, repeated evening of the two, of the two. But these two figures are not the statues east and west at my long window on the river. They are mother and father, but not my actual parents, only their memory. Not memory, but something builded in my cells. Father with your feet cut off, mother cut down to death, cut down my sister in the self-same way, and my abandoned husband, a madman of the sun, And you, dark outlaw of the other one, when do we speak? The song flies out of all of you, the song stabs in my body, the song is in my mouth, the song is on my teeth, the song it is pouring, the song, wine and lightning, the river is coming to confluence in me entire. But that was years ago, my child is grown. His wife and he in exile, that is home, longing for home, and I home, that is exile, the much-loved country, like the country called parents, much-loved that was, an exile. His wife and he turning toward the thought of their own child, conceive, we say, a child. Now rise in me the old dealings, father, mother, not years ago, but in my last night dream. Waking this morning, the two Mexican figures, black stone with their stone hulls, I fill with water, fill with wine, with oil, poems and lightning. Black in morning dark, the sky going blue, the river going blue. Moving toward you form I am, carry again all the old gifts and wars. Black parental mysteries groan and mingle in the night, something will be born of this. Pay attention to what they tell you to forget. Pay attention to what they tell you to forget. Pay attention to what they tell you to forget. Farewell the madness of the guardians, the river, the window, they are the guardians. There is no guardian, it is all built into me. Do I move toward form? Do I use all my fears? Refers to the story in the Bible. It's called Mislav. Well, it treats me like a young girl still. This father of mine. And here's my sister, and we're still traveling into the hills. But everyone on the road knows he offered us to the strangers, and all they wanted was men. And the cloud of smoke still over the twin cities. And mother's assault that the animals come to. Who's going to want me now? Mother did not even know she was not to turn around and look. God spoke to Lot, my father. She was hard of hearing. He knew that. I don't believe he told her anyway. What kind of father is that, her husband? He offered us to those men. They didn't want women. Mother always used to say, some normal man will come along and meet you. This is a problem with this kind of illness. I hate the brute illness, but I care about the recovery very much and the hard work that the recovery is and the slow resurrection of the right side. When the half body dies, it's frightful death. Forked pain, infection of snakes, lightning, pull down the yoke. waking, and I begin to climb the mountain on my mouth, word by stammer, walk stammering, the lurching deck of earth, left, right, with none of my own rhythms, the long-established sex and poetry. I go running in sleep, and waking stumble down corridors of self, all rhythms gone. The broken movement of love, sex out of rhythm, one halted name, and a shattered language, ruin a French rule of lights behind the eyes. Slowly the left hand extends 100 feet, and the right hand follows, follows, but still the power of sight is very weak. But I go rolling this ball of light, it rolls, and I follow it whole, the slowly brightening slope. A whisper attempts me, I whisper without stammer. I walk the long hall, the time of a metronome set by a child's gun target, left, right. The power of eyesight is very slowly arriving in the late, impossible daybreak, all the blue flowers open. This is called Poem, White Page, Poem, as the Chinese do. Poem, White Page, Poem. Something is streaming out of the body in waves. Something is beginning from the fingertips. They are starting to declare for my whole life all the despair and the making music. Something like wave after wave that breaks on a beach. Something like bringing the entire life to this moment, the small waves bringing themselves to white paper. Something like light stands up and is alive. This is called Work for the Day is Coming. It is a poem, yes, that it exists, that it grow and reach, and grow into lives not yet born, not yet speaking, that sounds move with the grace of meaning, the liquid sharing, the abrupt clash of lives, that the suggestions climb to, descend to, the fire of finding the last breath of the poem, and further, for that I move through states of being, the struggle to wake, the frightful morning, the flash of ecstasy among our mutilations, recognizing light shining, and all night long, an invited, led, whipped, dragged through states of being, towards it, inviting you through states of being. This you don't have to be told, but many people in the States have to be told about Sylvia Plath. This is called Not to Be Printed, Not to Be Said, Not to Be Thought. I'd rather be Muriel than be dead and be Ariel. I'd like to read to you from the poems called The Gate. They're a group of poems which are the journey across the ocean. Thank you. One is from Kim Ji-han's mother called Mother I Spit For. Woman seen as a slender instrument. Woman that vigil in the prison yard. Woman seen as the fine times of a pitchfork that works hard, that is worn down and rusted down to a fine sculpture standing in a yard where her son's body has been found. Woman as fine times blazing against sunset, wavering lines against yellow brightness, where her fine body becomes transparent in bravery, where she will live and die as the times of a picture that stands to us as her son's voice that stands across the world speaking. The rumor comes that if his son is killed, his mother will kill herself. But she is here, she lives, the splendid times of this picture, standing in flames of light. This is another from the same series. You brief woman, you gave me a scarlet coverlet, thick stone with all the flowers, and all the while your poet sleeps in stone. Brief woman, the waves of this coverlet, roses of Asia, they flicker soft and bright over my sleep all night while the poet waits in solitary. All you vigil women, I start up in the night, fling back this cover of bread. In long despair we work, write, speak, pray, call to others, fear our night, fear our lives, fear our poet. Air filled with fear and the pangs of fear. The fear of the child among the tyrannical. Unattainable men and women. Called The Sun Artist, which has to do with an invention in California, which is there now in a museum. Museum of Perception, which is a very unwieldy name of the Exploratorium, which is not as bad as it sounds. But there is an opening in the roof of the building through which the sun shines. And there is a slow, small motor there just to correct the movement of the earth so that the colors stay on the screen before you. In a large screen, about as large as that wall, you come into a huge building through the dimness. You see marvelous, brilliant colors, like hallucinatory color. Color I have seen only as bright once when the battery of lights went off before my eye during the photograph of my eye. Enormous lavender and brilliant lime green complementary light. No blindness for a minute when the clear again. And these are the light flung back at you from a battery of prisms, then a battery of prisms behind you, then onto the screen, so that you have what looks like a skein of intense colors in front of you. And by moving, by dancing or walking or running before this, you can change it. You can select out colors so that it becomes what you wish. It's the only art I know in which you can take part in the art to that extent. You know, little children right in front of it, people in wheelchairs go in front of it, and it all selects out according to what they do, how they move. This is very amazing kind of art. The next kind of art is not projected, it's simply cast on the screen. And the man who made it, Bob Miller, sometimes makes music, but he sometimes shows people how it works. It's just there. And hopefully it will be in hospitals and other places. This meant very much to me when I saw it. I worked in that museum making a word part to that museum. It seemed to me there must be a word part in many museums. I found out later that there really isn't. There isn't a word museum in other places. So there'll be a building out there, and this light art is going on. It's called the Sun Artist. It's for you. One, the opening of the door is dark, the opening of the large doors, out of the daylight and the scent of trees, and that lake where generations of swans no longer move among children, in a poison town. But the bright-headed children move, dark, high, the beams of a huge building exposed in the high, dark air. I see brightness with the shock of joy. Two, past the darkness, a lashing of color, not colors, strands of light, not light, the pure deep color beyond color, or the pure piercing light I knew before, once before, a minute of blindness. These colors are deeper, the entire range in its millions, twisting and brilliant, traveling. I stand in the strong sun before a bank of prisms. On the screen in front of me, tangled colors of light, twined, intertwined. A sensitive web of light changing. For the sun moves, the air moves, the perceiver moves, I dance my slow dance. For the deepest blue, green, not the streams of the city, the clear yellow of yellows, not California war, not Mediterranean, not the Judean steeps, red beyond blood of a flame, more even than visionary America. All light, a man braced on the sun, where the sun enters through the roof, where the sun follows, man-made motor, with a gentle motion, just counters the movement of the earth, holds the scene. In front of us, a man-made screen, light traveling, meets, leaps, and becomes ours. Five, colors move on the screen, doors open again. They run in, the California children. They run past the colors, and the colors change. The laughter of running. They cry out, bird voices. 97 children, wow, wow, how come? Six, another day. I stand before the screen. Alone I move, selecting out my green, choose out the red with my arm. I let the orange stand. A web of yellow. The blue stays and shines. I'm part of the color. I'm part of the sun. Seven, you have made an art in which the sun is standing. It changes, goes dark, goes gray. The sun appears. You have led me through 11 states of being. You have invited us all. allow the sunlight, dance your dance. Another day, no sun, the fog is down, doing its slow dance into the city. It enters the gate in my waking. There will be no colors but the range of white. Before the screen, I wait. Now, night, what do you know about the light? And waiting, a good deal like real life. Waiting before the sea for the fish to run. Waiting before the paper for the poem. Waiting for a man's life to be. Break of light, sun in his colors, streaming into our lives. The artist dreams of the sun, the children of the sun. Oh, frailties, we can be intercept, fragile like ourselves. Mirrors and prisons, they can be broken. Children shattered by anything.